The Yankees are back to spending like the Yankees, I think. A big shakeup in the DC movie universe. And Zach Wilson is starting on Sunday. So, I've got a lot to talk about. Enough of me flapping my gums. Let's get to the podcast. Welcome in. It is December 16th, 2022. Welcome to the Jonesin podcast. My name is Adam, and I apologize about Monday. I was feeling a little bit under the weather. My usual guest, Ryan, was also not able to record. So I just decided that I wasn't going to do the podcast. So a bit of a weird move on my part because I've only done three podcasts so far. But it is what it is. There was no episode on Monday. I'm going to talk about the Jets pretty extensively today at the end of the podcast because there was some news today. But let's kick things off with the Yankees. So last week, the Yankees re-signed Aaron Judge, $360 million deal. They told Judge when they re-signed him, according to reports, that they were going to go out and they were going to go out and get players. Well, last night they signed Carlos Rodon, a left-handed starting pitcher who pitched for the Giants last year, to a six-year, $162 million deal. Now, that's only $27 million a year, so that's kind of a bargain, if we're being honest here, for what people thought Rodon was going to get. But yeah, so I think I saw that the Yankees have spent upwards of about $550 million total over the course of some contracts in this offseason, which has got a lot of people giving Hal Steinbrenner a ton of credit and saying, oh, finally, the Yankees are the Yankees again. And I'm just going to put this out there and I'm going to ask the question, are they really? Let's go to the Judge thing first. So the Judge contract. What happens if the Yankees don't re-sign Aaron Judge? The fan base revolts. And I'm not even kidding about this. The Yankees fan base would completely revolt if they let Aaron Judge walk away. So that's one aspect of it, okay? So they knew they had to bring him back. They wanted to bring him back because he's a homegrown talent. So that was the deal you had to get done. Like, no matter what, you had to get that deal. It was basically when Jeter was a free agent. Like, as much as the Yankees front office probably didn't want Jeter back when they went into contract negotiations with him back in the day, and Cashman even told him to his face that he would have rather had other players play shortstop. But they had to bring Judge back. So that was a commitment they made. They had to do it. So the fan base was happy with that. So now the fan base turns to, well, we have a lot of weaknesses on this team. Even though this team went to the ALCS last year, everybody kind of knows that their weaknesses are their hitting and, you know, their pitching was actually not bad in the postseason, but everyone kind of looked at the pitching and said, well, they definitely need to upgrade it. So yesterday they signed, like I said, they signed Carlos Rodon, six-year, $162 million deal. They got him at a bargain, in my opinion, because a guy like that, if there's no injury history on him, he's probably getting a little more than that. Like, he wasn't ever going to make more than Cole. Like, the Yankees just aren't going to do that. They're never going to pay a pitcher more than Cole, which I think is why they were out on guys like Verlander and Scherzer the last couple of years, because those guys were getting paid more than Cole. But the Carlos Rodon deal is a great deal and now gives the Yankees what is arguably one of the better rotations in baseball, because you can line up in a series or in a five-game stretch. You can line up Gerrit Cole, Carlos Rodon, Nestor Cortez, who was at one point last year considered to be a Cy Young contender. You have Luis Severino, who pitched very well last year There was a whole controversy of putting him basically on the IL when he wasn't really injured because they wanted to save his arm. And he's a contract year this year, so I don't think the team is going to necessarily want to do that. They don't care. They're going to put him out there for as many starts as they can. They just want him healthy for the postseason. And then there's Frankie Montas, who didn't pitch very well last year when he came to the Yankees, but there was a lot of injury stuff with him because he got injured maybe a month before the deadline. And who really knows how much of what we saw from Montas last year was the real Montas and how much of it was he's just injured and trying to put too much pressure on himself. So we're going to see what that is this coming season with him. They have a lot of depth. Also, they have Clark Schmidt, who they could easily turn to a reliever too, which I think is kind of where they're heading with him. I've got Davey Garcia, who's a former top prospect, but he hasn't really looked great the last couple of years. They have Domingo Germán, who a lot of people, experts, believe will be traded because I don't know if they're going to go with him as a long reliever because I don't know if that's kind of where he belongs, but we'll see. We'll see. All of this is up in the air right now because we're still months away from spring training. We're still months away from this, and the offseason is not done. And I led this off with, are the Yankees back? In my opinion, it's all about if they make one more move, one more big move. Because this team, as is only one player different now. And I get it. The team won a lot of games this year. They were one of the best teams in baseball for parts of the season. But they have a lot of weaknesses. They're an old team, and they need to get younger or they need to get more athletic. So you look now at the gap between them and the other teams. So their left field spot with the Yankees. Andrew Benintendi today signed with the Chicago White Sox. So he's off the table. There isn't really an all-star guy that they can go get. I know Yankee fans have that pipe dream of Mike Trout coming to the Bronx, but I don't think that's feasible. I don't think there's any chance of that happening. So then you turn to a guy like Brian Reynolds, who the Pirates are asking a lot for. Some people have reported that they're asking for the top three prospects in your system. Now, with the Yankees, they have a guy named Jason Dominguez, the Martian, as some call him, who basically everyone is touting as the next thing. They're saying he's a budding superstar and he's going to be one of the best players in baseball someday. Now, again, this is all conjecture by the Yankees, probably leaking this stuff out. They're, you know, a lot of their people in their scouting department are very well connected. So it probably gets out there that these guys have a great farm system. And I just don't know. We'll see. He's 19 right now. He's probably about 2-3 years away from the big leagues. If the Yankees even do that, because the Yankees are become notorious the last couple of years of just hoarding prospects, never using them, just slowing down their development, and then they just disappear off the face of the earth. A couple of years ago, Miguel Andujar was basically an all-star third baseman. He couldn't play defense. That was his big defect, which is a big defect, obviously, in today's baseball. But then he just disappeared. They replaced him with Gio Urshela, who's a great player. And he just kind of disappeared. They would bring him up every once in a while. He would hit. They'd send him right back to him. You had guys like Clint Frazier, who goes by Jackson Frazier now, had a really great 2020 season, even though it was a very low game season because of the pandemic. He played great, and everybody thought, great, he's finally hit his ceiling. Those, some of those trades that they were did during the retooling year, basically, you thought, okay, great, this is great. They're finally doing something here. Nothing. He just disappeared. They constantly were just never handing him the left field job. And the one time he did, he got hurt. And then they just never gave it back to him. Granted, I know these young players need to earn it and all this other stuff. But with him, he had earned it. And they just didn't go anywhere with it. You had guys like Phil Hughes, Jabba Chamberlain, guys that were touted, absolutely touted as the next big thing in baseball. Phil Hughes was okay. He was on the 2009 World Series team. He pitched well in the bullpen, but it never really panned out. he pitched for Minnesota. I think he pitched for the Padres for a little bit. He never really panned out. And who's to say it's the Yankees' fault? It's, you don't know. It's just something that happens where these guys keep coming up and they keep not living up to their potential. And who knows if that's going to be a thing that's going to affect future guys or not. So I don't know. But for me, and this is just my opinion, because I've watched this team since I was a kid. But over the last couple of years, the team has routinely disappointed when it mattered, and they've done almost nothing to fix that. So yes, they added a great arm. He's a lefty, power arm, strikeout pitcher, ground ball pitcher, more importantly. Flyball pitchers in Yankee Stadium are not a good idea, because as much as we love pitching, it is not a pitcher's park. It is more a hitter's park. That's why there's a short porch. The left field is a little more reasonable, but it's still not. It's not a deep park. It's not old Tiger Stadium, which was basically like just hit bombs. But yeah, I want to see what the Yankees do next. They need to do something. They need to get a left fielder. They can't go into the season with this whole we're rotating guys in and out thing. We can't do the Oswaldo Cabrera in left field thing, because Oswaldo Cabrera is more valuable as a super utility guy, a guy that can play everywhere. So you're looking at the bench. Can you imagine their bench as Oswaldo Cabrera, who can play every position almost? And then you have IKF, who shouldn't be starting, but imagine him as the super utility guy who could play third base. He won a gold glove at third base, by the way. Could play shortstop. You can have him play second base, but you can mostly just keep Oswaldo over there and or DJ or whatever. And that's a great thing to have. But you have to have someone in left field who can play there every day. Benintendi would have been the perfect guy to bring back. Benintendi was a left-hander. He could have led off. He's a good contact hitter. So now you're looking at a guy like Brian Reynolds. You got to go get Brian Reynolds. You got to. You get Dominguez out of the trade. That's all. You have so many middle infield prospects. You got to just trade one of them. Because if you look up in 4 years and none of these guys have panned out, like, what are you going to do then? What are you going to do? You're going to say, oh, well, on to the next prospect we're going to overhype. But they got to make a big move. There was a rumor last week they were in on something big. Who knows what that is? I would assume it's Brian Reynolds. That's the biggest move I can see at this point. But the Yankees also operate in a variety of different ways. So it's not really a variety. It's actually two ways. So John Boy pointed this out. The two type of moves the Yankees make are you get completely news blasted every day with this, which was the Cole stuff and the Rodon stuff, which is basically like the Yankees are the only team in on this guy. The Yankees, you know, and then there's the leak where all this other team's coming in high. That's the agent trying to get the deal up. And that's Boris, who I've seen plenty of guys who used to work in front offices basically say they tried to avoid Boris clients at all costs, which is why the biggest Boris clients are usually the ones who get the biggest deals. So Padres are looking at Juan Soto right now. You're looking down at that and you're like, damn it, Boris is Boris' client. So what do you do with that? Like, now the Padres basically have to sit here and wait until the offseason of next year to negotiate with Juan Soto, because he's not going to do it right now. But I don't know, man. So the other move the Yankees make is the one that comes out of nowhere. The Stanton trade, the Donaldson IKF trade, the trades that you never hear, and these guys are even linked to the Yankees, and all of a sudden, boom, they're on the team. So it's either you know it's going to happen, it just takes a while, or it comes out of nowhere. There is no in between with the Yankees. There is no like, yeah, the Yankees are kind of in on this guy, and then finally, like, he gets traded. No. When the Yankees wanted Sonny Gray a couple years ago, it was talked about for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then finally it was traded. The Montas thing, weeks and weeks and weeks of just Yankees Montas, yada, yada, yada. So we'll see, man. It's a big offseason for the Yankees. I feel like they need to make one more move because this team is not that much different than last year's team right now. Right now, they've added one thing that's made the team different, and that's Rodon. They brought back Tommy Kahnle, but he's replacing a guy that was injured. So. That's that. We'll see what happens. Hopefully, there's some more good news to the Yankees up and coming. Another thing I want to talk about real quick. This is kind of not sports related, so it's going to be interesting to have me talk about this real quick. So, this past week, it was announced by the presidents of the DC movies division, James Gunn and Peter Safran, I believe his name is. They were brought in very recently. It was announced that Henry Cavill would not be returning as Superman. They're going with a whole new person. They're going to have a younger version of Superman. Now, I'm one of those people, one of the very rare people, to be honest. And then they're not rare. I mean, there are a lot of people out there. I really enjoyed the Zack Snyder versions of Batman and Superman. I liked Man of Steel. I liked Henry Cavill's portrayal of Superman. I didn't have the Christopher Reeves growing up. We had Brandon Routh, who was the one Superman in my like youth that I had, and I wasn't a fan. But we did have Henry Cavill, and I thought he did an excellent job as Superman. Genuinely seems like a really good guy. And I know a lot of people don't care about that kind of stuff, but being a good person and being nice to fans is very important when you are a character of that ilk. If you're playing a Batman or a Superman, you have to be relatable and you have to be around the people because you're going to forever be at these comic cons where you're going to have to deal with fans who, let's be honest, they're fans at these comic book conventions are a little over the top sometimes. They're very similar to wrestling fans in that way. So anyway, that was announced that he was leaving. The whole DC movement has been just a nightmare these last couple months. Because just about 2 months ago, this movie's been out for a while. It's been pretty much talked about. So if you haven't seen Black Adam, spoiler alert. In the post-credit scene of Black Adam, Henry Cavill returns as Superman. The Rock did a lot of promoting for this movie where he basically said it without saying it that Henry Cavill was coming back. And then he left the Witcher TV series, which is a TV series that he basically wanted to do because he was a big fan of the games. He left it to come back to be Superman. Now, while this is happening, DC is making moves. There was a big merger recently with Warner Brothers Discovery. So there was a big change there where they wanted to make changes to the DC EU, because they look at what Marvel did and Marvel is now its own like thing. And DC is kind of way, 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 way behind. Now say what you want about the current Marvel product. It's been lagging over the last couple of years. And other than like No Way Home, other than No Way Home, there's been a lot of misses from Marvel over the last couple of years. So I think people in DC see the opportunity to strike. And I think a lot of the fan base really wanted Zack Snyder's vision to come back. And James Gunn has a very, very different vision of things. I love James Gunn's portrayal of the Guardians of the Galaxy. I love Peacemaker. You would know that because the song at the beginning is the Peacemaker theme. I loved his Suicide Squad movie. James Gunn knows how to do superhero movies. So a lot of people were upset that Cavill's gone. And I was one of them. It bummed me out. I'm upset that Affleck is gone as Batman. I thought he did an excellent job as Batman. Momoa, of course, was great as Aquaman. I wasn't a fan of the Aquaman movie, but as the character he played, he was very good at it. Who knows what the Flash movie is going to be? I was really excited for the Flash movie because I want to see Michael Keaton as Batman one more time. And that's really all that it was. I wanted to see Michael Keaton come back and be Batman again. And that's what the Flash movie was going to give me. And now it's going to come out, but it's going to be so overwhelmed with the controversy around Ezra Miller and all the stuff he's done, the terrible stuff he's done. So now that's, you know, so it's basically a restart for the DC movie universe. And that's, you know, if it works, that's great. Because they need a lot of changes over there. I don't know what they're going to do about the Batman thing because the Robert Pattinson, the That movie was incredible. Probably my favorite Batman movie of all time. So, and I love the Christopher Nolan Batman movies, but that portrayal of Batman and the Riddler and the way that movie was written and the just the way the movie progressed, it's my favorite Batman movie of all time. I know that's a opinion that not a lot of people, I mean, maybe people agree. I don't know. I don't really care if you agree with me or not, because it's my opinion and what it's what I like. And I love that movie. Who knows where they're going with that? If they're going to do another new Batman with the, because he's not part of that universe. And I don't think they're going to integrate that into there, because that is just, that would change a lot of what Matt Reeves was trying to do with the Batman. You can't bring Superman into that world. You just can't. It's a real world where there's real things going on. But I don't know. If they decide to bring in Mr. Freeze or the Sandman into any of the next couple of Batman movies with Matt Reeves, then yeah, bring in Superman. Who cares? It looks like Gal Gadot is out as Wonder Woman as well. I don't have an opinion on that, because I thought Wonder Woman 84 was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. So if you're going to change that, then by all means, change that now. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's, I'm kind of in wait and see mode, because I like so much of what James Gunn has done over the last couple of years with superhero movies. But it's also one of those things where for years I was basically like, can someone take this and just make it somewhat organized so I understand it? Because it would basically be this thing where it's like, well, Ben Affleck is out as Batman. Now they're doing another Batman movie, but it's not related. But Jason Momoa is still Aquaman. But we're having a new Superman. But then there's Shazam. And then there's all this. And there was just so much like this organization where someone would tell me, oh, this movie's good. And I'm like, cool. Well, what Marvel has done to superhero movies in the negative is that all of this stuff has to be interconnected to me now. If you're going to try to create a universe, if you're just going to have a Batman movie and just that's the universe, then fine, do whatever you want there. Cause I'm not going to worry about the universe at that point. It's not something I care about at that point. But anyways, that's my thoughts there. I'm going to bring in my cousin Ryan now, and we're going to talk about the Jets and this weekend. So here's Ryan. All right. Well, we got cousin Ryan here again. We're going to record on Monday, but some things came up, some diseases or non-diseases, as it may be. I think it's better, because I think today is a better day for us to talk, especially with everything that's happened today. So after the game on Sunday, when Mike White returned and played injured after being almost murdered by Matt Milano, what were your thoughts on Mike White after that? Were they, I'm assuming they were more positive, but.
Well, yeah, you know, he really showed that grit, that toughness. And we got a grim reminder of how over Joe Flacco's career really is.
Definitely. He came in and it was basically like, well, this is not great. I think I'd rather have me or you playing quarterback at this point.
I am just as agile as Joe Flacco.
Yeah, and I could probably be just as statuesque as him out there on the field.
I stand up actually all day long without dropping the things that are in my hands. So that's a advantage I have.
Did you send your resume in to the Jets?
Yep, nailed it right to One Jets Drive.
And they probably looked at it and thought, oh, this kid's cute. It's a little kid sending in his resume. And they're like, nope, it's a 30-year-old man.
Found me on LinkedIn.
But yeah, so I mean, that game could have, it's another one of those games that the Jets could have pulled that game out. Like the Bills didn't play that great either. So it's one of those things, like if you see the Bills in the playoffs, like are the Bills definitely a 9-point favorite again in a playoff game?
You know, it really came down to those couple of turnovers when Mike White didn't have the ball in his hand. You know, the Michael Carter fumble, you kind of got to move past. You know, that was a great punch out, bad conditions, you know, and he's been solid for us otherwise. But the Joe Flacco thing is no new business. But if either of those drives even stuck around where they were at, you know, that's 3 points at all, on at least one of them, you know. Right. Not as much of a moral victory as that Vikings game. But, you know, when conditions are like that.
Well, speaking of conditions, hopefully there's no wind this weekend because Zach Wilson is going to be starting, which we all found out today. I don't really understand how a guy can come back into a game on Sunday and then not play the next weekend. That was a little confusing for me, but here we are. We're staring down one of the biggest games of the season against a team that's also fighting for their playoff lives. And we're going back into it with a guy that we just don't trust.
Listen, you know, the best thing that could happen is Zach has a solid game and, you know, we get early season Zach where he's not losing games for us. Maybe he's got his head in the right place again. You know, that's the best we could hope for, you know. And I see online, you know, I talked last time about Jets Twitter, Jets Reddit. It's all the same, you know. Oh, we're done, we're done, we're done. All these not real fans who are preying on Zach's downfall rather than our success. And I'm not about that life.
Right. I mean, I the only negatives aspects of things right now is that the fact that one of the teams ahead of us in the playoff race is the Patriots. So, you know, there's a couple of teams we have to jump now, whereas a couple of weeks ago we were kind of, you know, in the front of all those teams. Like the Chargers are a really solid team too, and they're ahead of them. But again, I as much as the Lions have been playing well, I'm pretty sure Robert Saleh knows how to stop Jared Goff in the cold weather.
Yeah, you know, our defense is going to win us this game. You know, the Lions have a great offense, some great talent, a great season of hard knocks. But at the end of the day, their backfield is atrocious, and our defense as an entire unit is pretty solid. And the Patriots, not for nothing, don't have an easy path either. You know, they've got the Raiders this week, which the Raiders are starting to heat up a little bit. The Bengals, and then the Finns and the Bills again. So they're not exactly shoo-ins
Right.
either.
And so you're going to the game next week, right? You're going to the Jacksonville game. Are you still doing that?
Yeah, I am.
So maybe we should just do this on Friday again next week so we can talk about the game.
Yeah, maybe I'll record something from the field.
You're gonna get on the field?
Yeah. Well, I mean, from the stands,
No,
but do something.
you should get Mike White to let you on the field, even though since he's not playing, you could just hang out with him on the sideline.
Yeah, that's cool. We won't suit up.
You
We'll wear the
just
same matching hoodies.
Yeah, both of you wearing the Gotham City football
Yeah.
sweaters and things and just chit chatting. So, with this game this weekend, are you predicting a Jets victory or are you kind of unsure? Or do you always just pick the Jets to win, no
Listen, I'm
matter?
always gonna, there's a difference, I think, between picking the Jets to win and wanting the Jets to win. Do I think we are gonna win this game? I think so. Just from what I said, you know, that defensive side of the ball. Jared Goff is no world beater. And between Sauce and DJ Reed and Quan Alexander ending dudes' lives on the field, I think we'll be all right.
Right. And
The only thing that scares me
yeah, go
is
ahead.
Jamal Williams.
Yeah, the 1 yard touchdown maker.
Yeah, you know, but at the end of the day, our run defense is the weaker side of our defense, and they have a couple good guys in the backfield, you know.
And I haven't heard much about Quinnen Williams. It sounds like he's 50-50 for the game.
Yeah, that's another area of concern, you know. You felt a difference in the defense as soon as he went out, you know. You could see Josh Allen sitting back in the pocket a little bit longer, having a little bit more room to roll out. You know, it just shows how big of an impact Q has on this game.
Yeah. And Corey Davis was out. I saw that they ruled him out for the game. So that'll hurt the run blocking a little bit because you could definitely see that too. After he went out, you could tell the running game was a little more off because he wasn't out there to block. He's also a big guy for third downs. They went again. They went back to trying to throw the ball to like Berrios and all these other guys. And I'm like, without Corey Davis, like he's important to the team, whether, you know, the fan base wants to admit it or not.
Yeah, you know, and Mims is a pretty solid run blocking receiver too, but Corey Davis, you know, again, Zach has a good kind of QB to receiver relationship with him, and is, you know, has Berrios too. But I wish I could have been in that room when they made that announcement, just to see the look on Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore's faces when Zach stood in front of them and announced his starter position.
Do you think that's how it works? Do you think when they change the starters, do you think Zach Wilson just emerged from like a closet with like a crown and said, "I'm the king again"? And everyone was like, "Ugh, not this idiot."
I think it's very WWE in the NFL locker room, you know. Salah's talking about, "Oh, we don't know about Mike. We don't know about Mike this week." Lights go out. Oh God, is that Zach Wilson's music?
Just one day during practice this week, Zach just runs out with a steel chair and hits Mike White in the back of the head with it, and then just stomps down on the ribs and says, "I'll see you this Sunday." And then Mike White just no shows because he's injured.
Yeah, you know, I was low-key kind of looking at tickets for this week too, just to see what I can get. And after that Zach Wilson announcement, ticket prices actually went down quite a bit.
I bet they did, because it's the Lions and then it's also the Zach Wilson game.
And that's with the Hard Knocks draw of the Lions.
Were they on Hard Knocks?
They were the preseason Hard Knocks team, and the Cardinals are the midseason.
I bet that's great TV. The Cardinals, where just everyone's fighting with everyone.
Yeah, it's more real Housewives than Hard Knocks.
And then there's just footages of Kyler Murray playing Call of Duty.
Yeah, streaming with Sauce, you know.
All right, well, we'll see how this game goes. Do you have any opinions on the Henry Cavill no longer Superman?
Adam, listen. I trust James Gunn. I'm sad for this man who loves everything nerdy, but now he's got this Warhammer project. So, a real win for the incels today.
I thought he was a good Superman. I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, he was. But there's been other good Supermen. It's a rotating door, you know.
Talking about that in my little open thing. In my lifetime, there's only been one other Superman. It was Brandon Routh. And well, then, I mean, there's the TV show, but I don't watch that.
Yeah, there's been.
Oh, Dean Cain.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Are we going to go down that route, though, and talk about Dean Cain?
No, I'd rather not.
Definitely not my Superman.
Many Batman.
There have been many Batman, and there'll probably be another Batman now.
Probably another Flash at some point very soon.
I hope so. I'm pretty sure Ezra Miller can't really be the Flash anymore.
Or they'll just take the CGI out of his fight scenes. No stunt doubles there.
Just jump off the building. It's Tom Cruise does it all the time. It's not a big deal. Oh, okay. I guess I could do that. I just wanted to get your opinion on that because, you know, it was a big story this week.
Yeah, no, between The Witcher and now Superman, this has been a rough couple months to be.
Can you imagine leaving your job thinking you're going back to your old job, and then you just show up at your old job and we're like, "Oh, no, we're just kidding. We don't need you. The Rock doesn't run the film studio." Did he tell you he did? Oh, The Rock. Yeah, he always thinks he runs the studios. He just doesn't.
Yeah.
And then Rock puts his hand up, and then no one says, like, "Dwayne, you don't run the studio, man. Stop doing this."
I was actually in my sick bed just going to watch Black Adam today, but still no inclination to.
I look at that as, like, I could watch it, but why? Like, is there a purpose? Like, there's no purpose to the movie now. They're not making another one. Like, people said the movie was just okay.
I thought it was going to tie into the new Shazam.
The new Shazam movie? No, the Rock refused to do a cameo in the Shazam movie.
Oh.
He said, "I only operate in the big leagues," apparently, is what he said.
Only if Kevin Hart takes over as Shazam will I.
All right, well, I'll talk to you next week. I guess we'll do it on Friday next week after you go to the game. We could talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are also getting hot now, and see how that goes with the Jets.
Yeah, we seem to be facing everybody at the wrong time, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, well, we'll be playing Seattle in a couple of weeks, and they're not doing very well. So, and the Dolphins seem to be falling apart too. So maybe we'll end the season on a high note.
Sounds good.
All right. Goodbye, cousin Ryan.
Later, dude.
All right. Well, that was a good podcast, good loaded podcast. I want to thank Ryan for coming on. He's going to be the Friday guest next week as well. We're going to talk about his experience at the Jets game. We'll probably talk a little bit about this Sunday's game. And then Monday, we'll see. We'll see who I'm going to have on, if I'm going to have anybody on, or if it's just going to be me. We'll see what happens between now and Monday. Thank you for listening. Go ahead and like, subscribe. Follow me on Twitter at Jones and Pod. Follow me on Twitter as well, my personal account, Adam JNPA. We will see you next Monday. Have a good night. And as Michael Kay says, see ya.
Pit. I was in the pit. You were in the pit. We all were in the pit.